Shalom to the Bride of Christ. This is Sheila Crawford of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and welcome to the news portion of our program. Well, as Israel keeps its eyes on the Golan Heights area, there does remain a calm as Hamas continues to bask in its claimed Gazan victory with Israel. But another uprising is surely on the horizon as Israel continues with its plans to appropriate approximately 400 acres of land in Judea to build more needed settlements. And if this is near the place where the three Israeli teenagers were murdered. But the left-leaning justice minister, you know, Zippy Livni, she said, well, it was a decision that weakens Israel and damages its security. Really? Anyway, it's no doubt that this will cause an outburst again amongst Israel's enemies, even though it is well known Hamas is rebuilding its demolished tunnels like scurrying worker ants. Anyway, here at home, using the ISIS crisis, Obama tries to draw attention away from the re-emerging news of the Benghazi massacre, which seems now even more evident that it points to Hillary Clinton, who purposely cut Ambassador Stevens' security from 38 in May to only 9 by that September. And not even acknowledging that Ambassador Stevens, whose probably hands are not clean in all this, but had asked the State Department to increase it and was ignored. Now, the compound's three contracted soldiers, who are now whistleblowers, said they were soon after harassed by the Republican House Intel Committee to keep quiet. Notice I said Republican. However, they remained adamant that they were told to stand down and not to proceed in the rescue. Finally, after a half hour, they defied the orders, but it would be too late. Isn't it interesting that many of the major players now in all of this are now working for a Hillary company called Beacon Global Strategies? It's like a Benghazi alumni association. The bottom line, is our government wanted Ambassador Stevens gone because he knew too much, probably about the weapon smuggling operation from Libya to Muslim rebels in Syria, who many believe is now ISIS, and who Obama still calls ISIL, if you notice that, which stands for Islamic State of Iraq and Levant. Now, when you look at a Levant map, you will see the area called the Levant includes Israel, not just Iraq and Syria, as the name ISIS stands for. Tomorrow, Obama is scheduled to give his strategy on how to handle the ISIS crisis that, to many, really has been created in part by our own government. Just like Al-Qaeda was in 1980 to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan, pretty well-known secret. Anyway, these present-day terrorists, originally from Libya back in 2011, are a well-known group of death squad fanatics, starting off as unemployed men with no future, full of despair and so forth, and then given a well-paid, purposeful job in their mind, funded by Saudi Arabia and trained in NATO camps in Jordan. So you think maybe I'm all wrong about this? Then ask yourself, why is it that the United States and Britain have provided ISIS with unrestricted social media platform? You know, it would be very easy to shut them down, but instead want them to become deplorable in your eyes, and so us citizens will demand war, which would be an even bigger crisis to produce a solution and usher in a new world order. How convenient. Let me ask you, is it working? And finally, just a quick reference to Ukraine. You know, we don't want Russia to control this, and it's because of its richness of hydrocarbons like shale, gas, and coal, especially abundant in that eastern area where the civil war is occurring. Isn't it interesting that our vice president's son, Hunter Biden, is on the board of directors of the largest private gas producer in the Ukraine called Burisma? Oh, and so is John Kerry's friend and his stepson's old college roommate. My, oh, my. Anyhow, God will take care of all that stuff. Meanwhile, you just keep watching. And we here at Shofar Ministries want to encourage you to stay focused on His plan to continue sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's really what it's all about. And please continue to pray that we can remain on the air, for donations are needed to do that. Remember, try to join us Friday the 19th at Chester Christian Center in Chesterland, Ohio, for video night, and it's all about Israel. Now, don't move that dial or your mouse. The Shofar Ministries Hour continues right now.
El Shaddai, Tova Tiki Tevu, meaning you may be inscribed for a good year. You are listening to the live Shofar Ministries Hour, 1220 AM Christian Radio, or on the World Wide Web, WHKRadio.com. This is Kent Littlejohn, your co-host tonight, and along with our in-depth teacher and minister of God's Word, Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, Kent. By the way, that Hebrew greeting that you opened with, we also did that last week, and it is the traditional saying during the season of Teshuvah. So we'll probably open up with it again next week, and by then you're going to have it down pat.
Did I get it right this time?
You got it real close. Anyway, the season of Teshuvah is a time of repentance that always precedes the memorial of trumpets, which our spiritual ancestors equated with their future resurrection some year, which is our topic tonight. And always remember, if you have made Jesus Lord of your life, then you are in the book of life, where every year is a good year, especially when you know where you're going. Now, as we do every week, let's give God the glory.
Lord, as we reflect on our own spiritual well-being, we may also give you the utmost glory and thanksgiving for all that you have done for your bride. We are immensely grateful for the privilege of proclaiming your truth, your word, and your sovereignty. We pray your Holy Spirit will guide us in all our endeavors as you grant us wisdom to understand your ways. We pray for the health and welfare of all of our listeners. May you draw in our families who do not know you yet in a life-changing encounter, and we thank you for our provisions as we lift up to you this program's financial needs. We lay at your feet the written prayer requests received at our monthly meetings, and of course, thank you for your great mercy as we most anxiously listen for the last trump. Shout in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. And we are so glad you tuned in, everyone. As always, the phone lines are open should you have a question on our Hebraic roots or end-time prophecy. The number is 888-677-WORD, 888-677-WORD, or you can email during the program only. We have a special email open just for this hour, and it is shofarlive@yahoo.com. That's pretty easy to remember. So if you don't want to be on the air and you'd rather just type it out.
Question? Right.
Do it. So again, we are in the season called Teshuvah, which began a few weeks ago, and that was on the Hebrew calendar called Elul. And it continues to Rosh Hashanah, but due to God's mercy, He extends it all the way to Yom Kippur, just in case somebody didn't remember, something they might have needed to confess. But Teshuvah means, more specifically, to turn around and turn more toward the Lord.
And this is our topic all month. And if we're still here part of next month as well, it's really Hebraic Roots 101.
It really is. It really is. And I think it's essential for just for every Christian to understand the feasts of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the fall feasts are really basic teachings as well. Very basic. And to me, every new Christian should learn them as well. So, anyway, it's an important part. And yep. Then, of course, we have to do something with it. We can't just keep it and be like the Dead Sea that doesn't have an outlet.
Right. We need to share it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Could you give us a quick overview of the important areas that we covered last week for those who may have missed it? And although last week's program is up on our webpage at shofarministries.net, it might be nice to capture what we talked about last
week. Sure, I'll try to do it, very summarized. But I hope people do take advantage of the webpage, because there's so much information on there. Every single radio program is archived, and it's all labeled.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, whatever you want.
Easy,
and then also
locate.
The newsletters are on there, too. It even has a search that you could put in a certain word, and you'll see where I've taught it in writing.
Right.
So, before I start that, we do have a caller. And his name is Richard, I believe. Am I right, Richard? Is that your name?
Yeah.
And where are you from?
Maslin.
Okay. What is your question?
On the Bible prophecy, many preachers years ago taught that after the United States falls, the European Union would come into power, and they would evolve into a super state. And now you don't hear too much of that anymore. You hear much about the 10 regions of the world, and that's about all they say.
Yeah.
Do you have any opinion on that? Or?
Yes, actually, again, you might want to check out the webpage. And I talked extensively about the Jesuits. And we're leaning more, at least I'm leaning more, that the United States is going to lose power immensely, if not even get bombed at some point. And then I believe that there's going to be 10 regions, but each region is going to be ruled by a Jesuit. And, in fact, if you look on the Jesuits' website, they already have 10 that go over the whole world. It's pretty amazing to see it. But you'd almost have to start at ground zero, do a study on the Jesuits, see how they've been around since the Reformation, and you will see the power that they have right now. And, of course, I'm looking at Rome as Babylon, and the whore on the beast, so that all fits in with the Jesuits and the Pope and things like that. And I always get people pretty upset when I talk about it, but, you know, I can't keep my mouth shut when I believe it's truth. But that's how I'm leaning right now, and I suggest you do start from ground zero and just kind of put it all together and come to your own conclusions. What do you think about that, Richard?
I really don't know who the Jesuits are.
Okay, well, go to my website and start listening to the programs that are labeled the Jesuits and the Whore of Babylon and things like that, and you'll get educated.
All right.
I think you'll enjoy it. And let me know how you do.
All right. Thank you very much.
Okay. God bless.
All right. You too, ma'am.
All right. Well, that was a good question.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's do a little bit of a overview of last week. Basically, God, especially over the last decade, I believe, he's been shining a huge light on how enormously prophetic his appointed feasts really are. And he has certainly opened the eyes of many of us, so much so as that I was just compelled by the Holy Spirit to teach on it 20 years ago, because nobody knew it. And I was learning it, and I'm thinking, wow, I got to tell this to people.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, 20 years ago, it was certainly a revelation at my church back then, but they did receive it and went somewhere, you know, with it, not too gung-ho, but wasn't too bad. But anyway, today, God is really shining a light on it, don't you think?
I think so.
I hear it now being taught at least more often, although, unfortunately, as we mentioned last week, there still are some churches that choose to ignore them. And unfortunately, I know why. Most pastors are kind of fearful of getting involved in Hebraic Roots because they think that it'll bring in some legalism, as some Hebraic Roots teachers actually have, so it's kind of gotten a bad name in some circles.
But I think they paint that with a broad brush, and they throw out everything instead of taking a look at what you can glean from it to learn. And so, you know,
yep.
But to me it proves that he's really coming soon, and how mm-hmm. obvious it will be some year, in the
That's
fall
right.
harvest season, where we will see fulfillment of the last fall feast,
That's
just
right.
like he fulfilled the early spring feast. You know, another way to put it is, think of it like the spring feast is his first coming, and
right.
the fall feast is his second coming.
Absolutely. I mean, it's really, when you see it, it's just so, duh,
right.
where was I?
Right.
You know, it's like, as you said earlier, that that person that the light bulb went off after hearing it so many times,
right,
and finally he got
it. At your teaching, what was it, first Friday of the month at, yes, at Chester Christian Center, we had a person come up and said, you know, it was very clear when it was brought out that it was the first coming was the spring feast, mm-hmm, the second coming is the fall feast.
That's right.
So it was like a light bulb moment for that person.
And again, you have James and referring to the harvest, and that's, of course, in the fall.
Right.
And they were talking, he was being asked, when is the Messiah coming?
Right.
And he says, wait like you wait for the harvest.
Right.
It's pretty plain. Anyway, the Hebrew word for feast is moed, and it means appointments.
It's like a calendar appointment.
And you lose that because,
right,
people never do their really intense studying of looking up words.
Well, I think the word feast implies, you know, we're going to have some chicken and some, you know, coleslaw. But no, that's not what it's about.
No.
It's an appointment.
It means appointment.
You know, hey, you keep a calendar. You got to go to the dentist next Tuesday. Guess what? You're going to be there at that time.
That's right. And if God's going to make appointment with you, I mean, goodness, wouldn't you want to, you know, be there for it?
He's going to keep his appointments, folks.
That's right. And we have another caller, and this is RJ. RJ, are you on the line?
God bless.
God bless you. Where are you from?
Beachwood. I'm a very close, long-time, many-year friend of Pastor Knowles.
Okay.
I do a lot of my studying in my scriptures quite a bit. And to be a Christian, you have to stay vigilant. And I correlate some things that I have read in the Quran against some of the things in my Bible. Now, in Ezekiel 21, I want to read you just the four passages, and I'm going to tell you what I want you to correlate this with and give me your opinion.
Well, let me ask you a question, though. Do you have a question, or are you just teaching?
No, I want you to correlate this, and I want your opinion. That's what it is. I'm asking your opinion after
I
read this.
All right, go ahead. I'll do it.
And I have a question.
Okay.
And it shall be, this is from Ezekiel chapter 21. I'm starting at 7, and I'm going through 12. That's as far as I'll go. You can take it from there when you get off the air. And it shall be when they say unto thee, wherefore sightest thou, that thou shalt answer, for the tidings cometh, and every heart shall melt, and all hands shall be feeble, and every spirit shall faint, and all knees shall be weak as water. Behold, it cometh, and shall be brought to pass, said the Lord God. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy, and say, Thus said the Lord, say a sword. A sword is sharpened and also furbished. It is sharpened to make a sore slaughter. It is furbished that it may glitter. Should we then make mirth? It contemneth the rod of my son as every tree, and he hath given it to be furbished that it may be handled. This sword is sharpened, and it is furbished to give it into the hand of the slayer. Cry and howl, son of man, for it shall be upon my people. It shall be upon all the principles of Israel. Terrors by reason of the sword shall be upon my people. Smite therefore upon thy thigh. What does that remind you of?
I have no idea. Why don't you tell me?
If you correlate some of the scriptures that I have just read with some of the same prophetic readings in the Quran.
Oh, I see.
You will correlate the message what I'm trying to explain to you.
Yeah.
ISIS has taken things way beyond and trying to justify it with correlations from scripture in the Christian Bible and also their Quran, because mm-hmm, a lot of things in the Quran are written almost to the same exact text as our Bible. And my question to you is this: upon knowing this, do you feel that this is a turning point and a warning in our scriptures to let us know and stay vigilant and be aware of everything that is coming to pass in these tribulating times?
Well, I do know that the enemy does take from scripture and pervert it, and he probably did, and it stuck it into the Quran. I'm sure of that. So what I want to say is, though, I'm going to do a little bit of more homework on this, and I think I'll get back with you. What I'd like you to do is email me during the week, Sheila at shofarministries.net, and I think we'll go over that again. But, yeah, I think you're right. The Quran is a lot of the time just scripture that's been perverted, and I think this is a classic example of that. So we thank you for your call, RJ, because we got to keep moving on. Okay, so basically I was saying that the feast means moed, and it means appointments. So our recap would be this. On the new year, which is Rosh Hashanah, Tishri 1, those that study Hebraic roots do believe it's probably going to be the resurrection of the righteous some year. We don't know what year, okay, and we don't know which day or hour. It lasts for 2 days. Now, this would fulfill the Feast of Trumpets. Hence, we got the idiom, the last trumpet. And in 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul refers to the last trumpet as to be when we will rise up. So that's just another confirmation.
Right.
Now, 10 days later begins the tribulation with the signing of the treaty with the Antichrist, what happens to be a Yom Kippur, because exactly according to Revelation, 2,520 days later, will be at the end of 7 years, Jesus Christ will come through the clouds to the earth, Revelation 19. That will fulfill Yom Kippur, also called the Day of Atonement.
Okay.
Then there is the judgment of the sheep and goats that lasts about 5 days, maybe less, Matthew 25. And those will be from the tribulation period. And then he will usher in the millennial kingdom on earth on the Feast of Tabernacles, fulfilling Tabernacles. But actually, Tabernacles does have a double fulfillment. In fact, I believe with all my heart that he was born on the first day of Tabernacles. So, he will usher in the Feast of Tabernacles also on his human birthday, as we all feast at our wedding supper or reception, which is right down here on earth.
So the wedding's in heaven for 7 years later, and then the supper's right here on earth.
Right. Well, the wedding, and then we have the 7 year Shavuot, which is the honeymoon, okay, where we get to know Jesus and he tells us what we're probably going to be doing when we come back down on earth and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And that also fulfills another Jewish custom of having the reception after the 7 days of honeymoon, which is normally 7 days, back at the bride's previous home of her father. And that's what's going to happen. We're going to get married. We'll have our honeymoon. And then he will present us back down here on earth.
Wow.
Yeah. So, again, as I mentioned before, it's also in James 5. He compares Christ coming to a time when the fruit is harvested. He also, along with Joel chapter 2, compares both of his comings to the yearly two major rains, which in Israel is in the spring and the fall. Is that kind of a duh?
So, so let me see if I understand this right. Because
okay.
Our forefathers believed the resurrection of the righteous would be one of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Each year, beginning 30 days before this memorial they named Teshuvah, they would examine themselves thoroughly for any unrepented sin or unforgiveness,
mm-hmm.
or anything that might keep them from being part of this most exciting and most talked about anticipated event.
That's right. That's what our ancestors did.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's all a type, though, for us to learn from.
Right.
And that's the beauty of it all. This month of close examination is also named Elul on the Hebrew calendar. And we saw last week that God particularly used this season often to chastise his people, as in the case of Haggai and Nehemiah, the more obvious ones. And we talked about that pretty intensely. And what else? Do you remember about Moses?
Well, we saw with Moses on the mountain the second time during Teshuvah.
It
and
was.
John the Baptist, of course, was preaching repentance during Teshuvah, and as well as Jesus was in the wilderness at the same time as John was, during Teshuvah. But I think it's important to reiterate, as born-again believers, our sins are taken to the cross, right?
Well, yeah, and we have to keep saying that. I don't want anyone to start saying, oh, well, what is this? We don't need
we're
this.
We're not putting you back in legalism. You're forgiven.
That's right. We are forgiven.
When your Savior is Christ, you're forgiven.
But still, if you know that you're about to have your wedding to your Savior, wouldn't you think the last month might be pretty important?
Well, again, it's about relationship.
That's
so
right.
if you're truly, wanting to honor the Lord, I think you're going to want to confess,
Absolutely.
Certain sins that might
and spend more time with Him in the Word,
prohibiting you from, having a closer relationship with Him.
That's right. In other words, this Teshuvah is a period that goes far deeper for the bride.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Again, as you said, just getting closer to him by putting the cares of this life aside for a while, you know? Take time to study with him, just you and him, with the Word. You know, he is the Word. And I believe that the efforts that we make to learn and know more about him will be shown to us at the Bema Judgment, because that's when we get our rewards.
Okay. So. And that takes place in heaven, right?
Absolutely.
So we're eagerly awaiting for him, you know, as part of that reward system,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we talked about that last
right.
week, too. Just by anxiously awaiting for him,
mm-hmm.
that's part of your rewards, because you'll get the crown of righteousness.
Right.
So, and also, we did point out, though, that sometimes there's catastrophes that occur during these 40 days over the years. And if you ever did a study on the catastrophes, you could see that so many of them happened during this 40-day period.
Many during this time period, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So anyway, we should be preparing, sort of like Esther prepared, you
mm-hmm.
know? We are supposed to be preparing for the wedding of our king. Amen?
Sounds like a plan.
That's right.
Well, you want to take a break? Or?
Do you want to? Do you want
yeah.
to?
I think we have a song by the Crabs here.
We have a
here.
Wonderful song, and I'm telling you what, this song is perfect for this month.
It is.
Because it's
titled,
Don't You Want to Go?
Don't You Want to Go?
I
yeah.
Want to Go, Don't Let's, You Want to Go?
You know, hopefully the trumpet will sound here in a few weeks, you know.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
I'm always hoping. So anyway, all right, let's do the song, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Y'all help us out with this one. Come on.
And carried out by God's own hand, 1,500 miles wide, mansions standing side by side, the streets are paved with gold throughout the land. Now they say there'll be no dying in the sea, no sickness and no sorrow will be.
Sheila, but I want to go. Welcome back
to
the Shofar Ministries Hour. That song was Don't You Want to Go by the Crabs. And if you'd like Sheila to speak at your church or group, or have a question that you maybe like to email her at Sheila@shofarministries.net, or just call the office 440-834-9006. And please pray about helping to sponsor the Shofar Ministries Hour. Also, you can check us out on the web at for all of our newsletters and previous radio shows are archived, and you may be able to order teaching DVDs as well.
That's right.
And just as a reminder, our lines are open for the your end-time questions at 888-677-WORD. That's 9673, 888-677-WORD. And just a quick reminder, your donations are tax-deductible and are very vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry.
That's right. I also wanted to say that, did we say who sang that song?
That would be the Crabs.
The Crab family, yes.
Yeah.
Just wanted to point that out because I know people aren't going to want to go out and get it. Anyway, also you can use PayPal on our web, or you can send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And all donations automatically put you on my informative newsletter, so include your email address as well, or regular mail address if you desire it sent that way. Either way, we hope you will forward it and share it with others.
And as a reminder, Shofar Ministries meets the first Friday of every month at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's State Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio.
And we just met last week, and we had a very good turnout. Thank you for those that came.
Yeah, we had a great turnout.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
And so please tell your friends about this end of days ministry. Referrals are always a good thing, right?
That is fabulous. Thank you so much. Sheila, didn't you say that each Hebrew letter of the month of Teshuvah, called Iyul, on their calendar is an acronym?
I did. Actually, I'm not even sure if I did last week. Do you remember?
I think you did.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, anyway, the Hebrew letters for Elul is Aleph, Lamed, Vav, and Lamed, which is an acronym for the words Ani, Li, Dodi, Vidodi, Li, from the Song of Songs 6:3, which says, I am my beloved, and my beloved is mine. I love that. Also, it can mean search in Aramaic, which should remind us of Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a wonderful prayer.
It is.
So, according to traditional Jewish thought, after any necessary repentance or forgiveness of others, Elul is also the month in which God's people can find particular favor with him. And the verse from Isaiah 55:6-7 is often quoted during Teshuvah as well. Could you read that?
Sure. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return, which means teshuvah, to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will be abundantly pardoned. So it can be for chastisement, or for blessing, or even after seeking his face. In essence, is that right?
That's right. Amen. Of course, now, New Testament believers, we all need to repent as soon as we recognize that we have sinned. And we know that.
Mm-hmm.
But let's especially, during this season, why not look at ourselves just more closely, especially for those sins of omission that we often don't think about? Like, are you as close to him as you could be? Can anyone out there listening to me right now actually say, oh, my life and my home are completely in order, and my relationships are exactly as God would have them?
Actually, we probably need more than 40 days if just to correct the omission errors that we have.
Well, you know what, and especially in this day, the cares of this life really are taxing.
Distracting.
It's so many. There's always things popping up, things happening. It's pretty pretty crazy,
actually.
A lot
of things competing for our attention.
Yes. But true teshuvah will always lead anybody to a positive advancement in your spiritual life. You know, the Israelites, though, they were kind of fortunate because they were reminded every day with the sound of the shofar blast. You know that?
Okay.
Which, of course, led up to the finale of 100 blasts on Rosh Hashanah. So at the sound of the last trump, they ushered in the new year. And so that's why we have the idiom last trump.
Which is why Scripture defines it as a memorial of the blowing of trumps that we see in Leviticus 23, for
example.
That's
exactly what it says. In fact, why don't you read that, Kent? Do you have that handy?
All righty. And then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of trumpets, and a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord."
That's right. So it was a very special memorial day, and they blew the trumpets. And it was Rosh Hashanah. That's what it was. That's what the memorial was of the creation of the world, especially man. I mean, you would want to remember that. That seems pretty important, don't you think?
Sounds good to me.
So 30 days into Teshuvah, which will end the month of Elul, then begins the next month of Tishrei, where the first 2 days are called Rosh Hashanah, or head of the year. Rosh means head, Shana means year. And actually, Rosh Hashanah has many other idiomatic names given to it.
Can you give me a few?
I think you can even help me.
All right, I'll
be glad
to.
I've already told you some of these. But, but first of all, I do want to remind the people this. This is just so important. You know, God organized these detailed Jewish requirements with definite customs and used particular phrases that Jesus would also embrace when he was here, so as to give us, the last days generation, these huge clues, so to learn how it will be. And even Paul told us in the New Testament, Romans 15, did you read that?
Yeah, that the things written before is for our learning.
That's right. Things written in the Old Testament is for our learning.
And even today?
That applies to us, especially
all
today.
Right. I think that's Romans 15:4.
Okay. Well, it's the truth. So, yet I hear people still tell me, oh, I don't read the Old Testament. We're in the New Covenant now. I'm thinking, oh, man, you're missing all the typology.
It's like having a peanut butter jelly sandwich without the peanut butter.
And, you know, there's some pretty good stories in there. It's better than any novel I'd have ever read.
Right.
And they don't mince words or situations either.
Right.
It's pretty amazing. But, okay, so we have the last trump, as previously stated. That is an idiom for Rosh Hashanah. So when Paul said, at the sound of the last trump, the dead in Christ will rise, that is a huge clue. But if you don't know some of the idioms from the Hebraic roots, you wouldn't see it. And most don't.
Right. Yeah.
But some people say, oh, the last trump, that's got to be the seventh trump of Revelation. So therefore, we're here for part of the tribulation. So it's a mid-trib. And I'm thinking, wrong.
Right.
Totally wrong.
Right.
The last trump is not the seventh trump. It doesn't even sound the same.
Right.
Last is not seventh.
Yeah, I think, you know, having a lack of understanding of the Hebraic roots is how we get, you know, replacement theology, for example.
Absolutely.
You know, so.
And then so many others as well.
Right.
And then another name is called Yom Terah, which actually means the awakening blast. So this shofar that's going to blow is going to wake up the dead.
And it says,
it's an awakening blast.
Right, 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17.
Mm-hmm.
The dead will rise first.
Then we who are alive will meet them in the air.
That's right.
Take the Bible literally, folks. Don't try to make a big, you know, deal out of it.
It fits perfectly.
Yeah, believe what it says.
And the coronation, for example, in Psalm 47:1-3. Oh, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with the voice of the trumpet. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. And he will subdue the people under his feet, under us, and the nations under his our feet.
That's right. And it's a voice of triumph, by the way.
No, sorry about that.
That's not a problem. Yeah, it's also called the Coronation Day. And they would, of course, read all of Psalm 47. I just read the beginning of it because it's a song. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout. You know, did you ever hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Bet you didn't know I was going to sing to you tonight, huh?
So you know, the coronation represents the crown.
That's right.
And the kings would be crowned on
That's another
Rosh Hashanah.
Thing. All kings were crowned on Rosh Hashanah, even if they had to take over early because of a death or something. But their coronation was on a Rosh Hashanah. Now, why would Jesus do it any differently?
Right.
We're going to get up there and we're going to watch him being crowned as king because he's not king yet.
He sits at the right hand of the Father currently.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
So we're going to watch him being crowned king. It's going to be great.
Okay.
And then also on Rosh Hashanah, by the way, they would eat from a round loaf of bread symbolizing a crown.
That's right.
How about that?
And that's right.
Okay, we have another. How about it's your turn? You give us one.
How about a rise?
That's right. Of course, it would be a rise because it's the resurrection of the dead.
Or open the gates.
And where do we read that? Do you remember?
Isaiah 26,
that's
maybe?
Right. I think it's verse 2. It says, open the gates that the righteous nation, which keeps the truth, may enter in. Well, what is truth? Jesus is the word. He is the truth.
He is the truth. And okay. Close on Yom Kippur, meaning Nela, which means close gates.
Nela,
sorry.
That's right. That's okay.
Sorry, Nela, if you're listening.
Too funny. But yeah, let me just talk a little bit about that open gates, because they believed that the gates of heaven were opened on Rosh Hashanah for the resurrection, for the righteous to enter.
Mm-hmm.
But they were closed on Yom Kippur, on Nela, which is a perfect example of Jesus when he returns at the end of the tribulation, that the gates will be then closed. If they haven't repented by the time he returns, it's too late, and the gates will be closed.
So second chance between Rosh Hashanah, or, you know, rapture to second coming, that 7-year period, is a second chance.
It really is.
Between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
It really is. There was a lot of tribulation saints that John couldn't even count them in Revelation 7 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he calls them the tribulation saints.
Tribulation saints, that's right.
Came out of the great tribulation.
More than the eye can count.
That's right.
And he had just counted 144,000, so obviously it's more than that.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot saved, and a lot of them will be saved because they're going to recognize that what we've been telling them.
From all the nations around the world.
Is true.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why never give up, even if you think, well, that guy's never going to get saved.
He might remember what you said to him prior to the rapture.
There's no doubt he'll remember.
Sure.
He will remember, and he will get saved.
It'll be kind of like the folks prior to the flood of Noah. You know, when the water level got to the chin level, they're thinking, oh, should have listened.
Yeah.
Should have got on the boat.
Exactly. Exactly.
So
never give up on your loved ones, because maybe they won't be the bride, which is unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll at least be in the kingdom if you're doing what you need to be doing right now. So never grow weary in doing good. Continue to give the gospel out, even if you don't think it's worth it.
But sometimes I get a little tired.
I know you do, and we all do.
Right. But that's why we ask the Lord to fill us back up again.
That's right. That's right.
You know? Well, how about another one?
Yes, well, it's also called Day of Judgment.
What's that?
There's a reason for that, of course. And actually, there's 2 days of judgment, because Day of Judgment would be for those that are left behind.
Mm-hmm.
When we get raptured, it'll be kind of a judgment.
Absolutely.
Them,
right.
Okay? And then another thing is that we get our reward, so it's kind of a good works at that point. Not that it has anything to do with salvation. It doesn't.
It's more of your rewards.
Rewards for
right. What
we've done after we were saved. And it's also interesting that God is sometimes referred to as the Ancient of Days, you know, especially in Daniel 7. Well, he's going to be sitting upon a throne while the books containing the deeds of all humanity are open before him. And the first time, of course, will be for our rewards, and then later at the Great White Throne Judgment.
Now, the rewards would be the Bema Seat Judgment.
The Bema Seat, right? Yes, that's what we call it.
How about the Chief of the Year?
That's another name, because it means to begin over. It's a new year. You know, we look at January 1 and say, oh, well, this is a, you know, the new year. No, it's not. That's what the secular people call it, but it's not. The real new year is the anniversary of the creation of the world, and that's absolutely, without a doubt, Tishri 1 and 2 and Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
Which is called the chief of the year to begin over.
Which makes perfect sense.
And another thing is besides the bread for the coronation, they also eat things like fruit and honey to symbolize a sweet year to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We used to have
clover honey, or did they have wildflower honey?
I don't know.
Is there one better than the other?
I don't have any idea. I never did a study on that, actually. I
wonder which one has more nutrients.
All I know is that when we were in, we used to every year do a huge Rosh Hashanah gathering celebration in the park in Burton. And we used to have apples and honey. And until I decided one year that's enough of that because we kept getting all these bees.
Well, yeah, this time of year.
Yeah, so we stopped having the honey after that. We just had the apples. But anyway, it's also called the Hidden Day. And, of course, it's called the Hidden Day because it's always a new moon. Rosh Hashanah is always on a new moon. So they would actually sit on a big mountain and just wait for the first sliver of the new moon to arrive.
Well, isn't the first new moon, like, totally dark? And it's like, you know, when you start to
see
the sliver, right? Then the guy on the, they used to have walled cities, if you will, and the watchman would blow the trumpet when he'd see that new moon. But no one really knew when that new moon was going to come over the horizon.
They didn't have calendars and all that kind of stuff. They had a good idea, of course, it's 30 days. But
so they kind of got the idea of no one knows the day or the hour from this particular two-day festival. That's why they had 2 days.
That's where the name came from.
No one really knew the day or the hour.
That's right, because it's a new moon.
Right.
Psalm 81:3 refers to this as well. And they would always have a festive meal, as you know, in the Bible, with since Samuel and Kings and that they always would have a festive meal at the beginning of every month for the new moon, because it was a type of new beginnings. And, of course, that makes total sense to me, because if the rapture occurs on a new moon, which we think it will, that's a new beginning, isn't it?
Right.
Wow. So, and then this is so interesting. But it was a Jewish custom that you could only see the king on a Sabbath or a new moon. Now, if God put these all together to teach us,
right,
and they could only see the king on a Sabbath or a new moon, it kind of makes sense that we're going to go see our king on a Sabbath or a new moon, and Rosh Hashanah is always a new moon.
Right. And it's the next feast, by the way, to be fulfilled.
It is.
Because he fulfilled the spring feast in order to the very day and hour.
And Pentecost, too.
So the next feast in order is
Rosh Hashanah.
Feast of Trumpets. That's right.
So it's exciting time. And you know what? If we're all wrong, oh well. The thing about it is, I just feel so, I think it's so important to let the people know that this really could happen at any time. And that means this year.
It could
this
be.
Fall.
We're to be ready, of course,
that's right,
at any particular time.
I'm just passionate about it.
But when you see the Hebraic roots and you understand the feasts and you see how it all fits perfectly with the wedding ceremony, it makes absolute perfect sense to be, you know, this time of year especially, as we go through Teshuvah, the time of Teshuvah, to prepare as a bride would be preparing for her bridegroom to come.
And I also want to point out that I think it's interesting. If they could only see the king on a Sabbath or a new moon, Rosh Hashanah is a new moon. But this year, it ends on a Sabbath as well.
So it's a double.
It's a double. So, I don't know. It gets you even more excited,
it
I think.
It kind of looks, you know, and by the way, we're
that's
in
all I'm going to say.
We're in the middle of this blood moon cycle, by the way.
And the blood moons have shown
like
up,
quotation
which
marks
says
on either
there would
side.
Be one before.
Yeah, the great and terrible day. It's great if you're saved, terrible if you're not.
That's right. That's right. Of course, it's also called the wedding of the Messiah to us. And again, let me repeat that God did organize detailed wedding arrangement requirements that had particular phrases that Jesus would use to give us huge clues about how it will be with us.
Well, how about this one, a day of remembrance?
It's definitely a day of remembrance for our rewards. And in fact, when you get a chance out there, please turn to Malachi 3 and you can read about it, how everything that you say and do is written in a book. So, and one more thing, because we're going to have to get ready to close here, but Kent, do you have any idea why Jesus so often healed on the Sabbath?
I'm just guessing here, maybe because the Sabbath is going to be fulfilled one day in him.
I think it is already fulfilled in him.
Yeah.
I think he fulfilled it, and it's in us now.
Uh-huh.
We have the Sabbath inside of us.
Well, I was thinking like Feast of Tabernacles, right?
Nope.
No?
Nope, that's separate.
Okay.
The Sabbath is actually one of the ones listed with Leviticus 23. In fact, it's the very first one.
Okay.
Okay, but his coming, he fulfilled the Sabbath, and now spiritually we have the Sabbath living inside of us. So every day is a day of rest.
Okay.
But I see where you're coming from, because Tabernacles is like a day of rest as well, because it was a fun time. It's the most joyous, and we'll be talking about that in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
So all I have to say is, people, if you haven't made Jesus Lord over your life, what are you waiting for? In other words, are you still playing footsie with the world, too? You know, are you justifying your sin, like fornication, having sex outside of the marriage bed? That's really big right now. But it's still a sin, and you cannot practice these things and expect God to overlook it just because society says it's okay.
And it's not okay.
It's absolutely not okay.
So what I'm seeing here is a fairly new student of prophecy and Hebraic roots is to fully understand Christ's coming, both the first time and his return. You simply must know about the appointments that God made with his people, in fact, all his people, and now that includes for us. Romans 11 says that we are also grafted into the roots, and so incorporating our used to be hidden to the church.
Yeah, used to be hidden.
Yeah, Hebraic roots is imperative to putting the pieces together for that end time puzzle for all of us to be connected.
It really is. It's you've got to know it to really be able to connect the dots, just the way it is. And next week we will continue teaching about the fall feasts. As we do get closer to the memorial of the blowing of trumpets, God's real new year. But, oh, precious one, again, if you are listening out there and you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, remember Christ died on the cross for you. He went through hell for you. And even today stands at the door of your heart and knocks, saying, "Behold, I stand at your door. I'm knocking. If you hear my voice, will you open that door?" And then he will come in and sup with you. But he's not going to crash the door down. It's your move. You and I are also beneficiaries of a love story that was written in blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea 2,000 years ago. Maybe you are in a name-only Christian, like Matthew 7 talks about. Maybe you only have a head knowledge of him and not a heart conviction. Got to get on your knees right now. Don't wait another moment. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal that seed away. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you right now, and then recommit your life to Yeshua, the Messiah, to anyone who wants him, because God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul, that never dies, spends eternity. It really is your call. Don't be a fool. And now we're going to do the Aaronic blessing, which you can find in number 622:27. I'll read it in Hebrew first. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'yinecha, Yasa Adonai panav elecha, Yasem laha shalom.
The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Till then, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, Jerusalem, shall prosper.
And that, of course, as I say every week, is not maybe. That's a sure thing. And he's got his eyes on Jerusalem right now. And you can read that in Psalm 122, verse 6. Tune in next week. We'll be here. Hope you are too.
Thanks, and God bless everyone.
God bless.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila at shofarministries.net. That's Sheila at shofarministries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.